AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey everybody, this is Brandon Gauden, former voice of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, and you're listening to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. Go Jackets, go ACC. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name's Joey Weaver, he's Mike McDaniel. Mike, week 13 is upon us. Ready to preview some games?
Feeling like $1 million this week, Joey, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling good.
Tis the season.
Why?
Tis the season.
Why? Why? Why?
Why indeed. We'll get into why I'm sure you're feeling like $1 million when we look at last week's locks, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. Mike, producer Scott with us in the house. Scott, how you doing?
Good. Had a long week, interesting week in the Savino household. I just told you guys my last name if you didn't already know it. All right, that's whatever. Interesting week over here in the Savino household, but doing okay. Happy to be here with you guys.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're happy to have you with us. We are live, youtube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast. It is a couple minutes after 11 o'clock on the East Coast, Thursday, November the 20th. I know it's about a day later than we would typically record, but we all had stuff going on last night, so appreciate your patience. What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. Anyways, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. We got some people in the chat here with us so far. We got a few of our regular listeners, regular joiners, so appreciate the people joining us. Again, subscribe, like, we'd appreciate all those things. We are on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, all those good places. It might be in the feed that you previously had us in. It might be a new feed you have to go find us on, but please do that. Hit the follow button, subscribe, rate, do all those things. We would really appreciate that as well.
Please rate. We've seen a few ratings on Spotify. Keep rating. We're sorry to all the Spotify people we lost.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate everyone's patience with that. It's been a real fun last month or so on this year podcast. Will Secor. Yeah, we're going to get to that here in just a minute. Scott's lock of the week came in. It was James Franklin. Speaking of which, anything else, fellas, before we get into our rowback look back at week 12?
Nope.
Let's jump in. As a reminder, use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order at rowback.com. Holiday season coming up. You're going to be buying polos and sweatshirts and hoodies and t-shirts and joggers and all sorts of athleisure wear over at rowback.com. Make sure you use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order. They got the game day collection. Looks great. They look great anywhere you want to be. You want to be on the tennis course, the golf court. You're going to work, you're going to church, you're going wherever you're going. Wear it all. You can get rowback.com to wear at
strip
those
club
places. Hypothetically, you know, I'm told, you know, might be discounts. If you're producing a podcast right now, you should be wearing Rowback, as producer Scott points at his beautiful Q zip.
This is a lovely herringbone quarter zip, I think they call it, from Rowback. Mm-hmm. They've got 20% going on right now for Black Friday, but if you type in our code, you still get the 20% and it helps us. So,
did you say a herringbone?
I believe it's herringbone.
Yeah, it's a perfect one to wear to a strip club.
Correct. Bones Cabaret.
Yeah. Real ones, no.
3 minutes and 30 seconds in an ad read. We're live. Go to rowback.com. Use the promo code. We'd appreciate it.
Just keep using the code. Rowback will keep paying us.
Yeah, there you go. Rowback look back, week 12. Mike, I noted that you posted an article, was it Monday or was it Tuesday, citing that James Franklin had officially been hired, but I also noted that you did not credit producer Scott in your article, and that was very, very disappointing to me. Would you like to? You have any words for yourself on that?
I mean, I wasn't expecting.
How rude of you!
I wasn't expecting an ambush here this evening, but you know, here we are.
What do you have to say for yourself, young man?
It was Monday at like 4:03:35 is when that article posted, and at 4:03:10 is when Pete Bamel just upended.
It's okay. I covered it for you, Mike.
The problem was I wasted 10 seconds saying, Pat, it's time, Pat, it's time, to Pat 40. That's 10 seconds I'll never have back.
Well, you know.
It's breaking now. Yeah. Oh, yes. You and me both. Man, they did it.
They did it.
So, producer Scott's only going to allow us 7 minutes on this topic because we have a lot of games. Yeah, we're inside 7 minutes. We have a lot of games to preview tonight, so I won't waste too much time. The thing that is most impressive about this from Virginia Tech's standpoint is organizationally, they had alignment in a way I have never seen. There were issues in the Frank Beamer era in getting alignment internally from the athletic department, taking advantage of when things were going really well from a, and at that time, you know, there wasn't NIL. Well, you know, there wasn't real NIL and rev sharing, but it was, you know, fundraising infrastructure in terms of facilities, all that stuff. Tech kind of got complacent during the Beamer era. Fuente came in and said, from a facility standpoint, that Virginia Tech had fallen behind. They really needed to do something about that. And Virginia Tech started to do stuff about that, you know, once got to the end of the Fuente tenure and into Pry. The Pry thing didn't work out. Virginia Tech's rector, John Rockovich, rector of the board, he basically asked Whit Babcock, the athletic director, to figure it out in terms of funding and what was needed. Whit Babcock puts together a presentation, says this is what we need. And then they put together a search committee with a bunch of high-ranking business people from the state of Virginia and elsewhere, and Bud Foster, and they said, let's go hire a football coach. James Franklin fell into their lap in terms of him being available. Nobody could have possibly seen this coming when they let Brent Pry go in September, but here we were. Bud reaches out to Franklin early on in the process. Franklin says, yeah, I'm a little bit, I am interested. Bud goes, okay, and then away they went. There were, I won't bore you guys all with the details, but Bud and another committee member, Jay Pearson, were really influential in the relationship building with Franklin. But of course, from a football standpoint, Pearson, from the standpoint of, hey, what do you need? I'll get you what you need in terms of finances. One of the last hurdles to get over with Franklin is, would you be able to guarantee that you're going to get me X amount of money in NIL? The number that I heard was $15 million for next year's roster. Just an NIL, if you get that plus revenue sharing, you could put together somewhere between a $25 and $30 million roster in year one, which is something that Virginia Tech has never been in the neighborhood of. That's
ever
a significant amount of money. That's basically what Texas Tech did this year to put together their roster.
That would compete in the ACC for sure.
For sure. Yeah. And Franklin's taking it from the standpoint of, I wanted to come to Virginia Tech and understand that we could not only compete in the ACC, but we can try to compete at a national level. And he had to have those assurances, and he got them. So the reason why this is a gigantic hire for Virginia Tech is because they had organizational alignment that they really haven't had in a while. And then the money to boot, because a lot of the donors were not going to put forth this sort of financial commitment in terms of NIL and funding a roster, unless it was James Franklin, right? And the fact that they went out and secured that with Franklin, got over the line, is something. So, you know, Penn State fans are real salty, like real mad online about this. I think a big reason why is because Franklin is going to stay in the DMV, and he's going to be recruiting all the same guys he was recruiting at Penn State, and he's probably going to have some success because Virginia Tech is going to put together something from a monetary standpoint that's going to make it easier for him to recruit, and much easier than some of these other coaches that have been in Blacksburg, Fuente and Pry, to recruit. This is a different job that Franklin's taken over than the one that Pry had when he was fired in September. And I think Franklin's going to take advantage of it. It's a huge recruiting weekend this weekend against Miami. I don't expect the game to go very well for Virginia Tech, but they are going to have a bunch of recruits in town that he's going to try to flip. A lot of them are Penn State guys. So I think that's pretty significant. And then Cam brings up a really good point. Franklin only took, I did a podcast with Cam yesterday, Cam and Mark Rogers, Joey.
Oh, wow.
I didn't tell you that. Yeah. Let's tell you. Franklin only took $9 million bio money to move on. Penn State people can, you know, sit here where the sun don't shine. Yes, I agree. But, you know, I just want Virginia Tech to get to a point where Franklin's record against really, 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 really good teams becomes an actual problem for Virginia Tech. That'd be great. That'd be a great place to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, love that.
Great hire. A+.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, when this kind of first became a discussion topic, which was, I mean, what did Brent Pry get fired like the same? It was like a week maybe before James Franklin got fired.
Weeks.
Like
I think it was three weeks before. It was a week before Oregon.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, but I said at the time, it's like, oh, if Virginia Tech can get James Franklin, that's a grand slam. And I maintain that this was a grand slam hire. I don't know that when Virginia Tech makes the choice to move on from Brent Pry, I don't think you could have asked for anything better than James Franklin and his track record and what he's done stepping into this job. I mean, is he Nick Saban? Is he, you know, the single greatest coach in the sport? Probably not, but like he's up there. He's one of the more accomplished sitting head coaches at this point. Over the last decade, especially, and what he's done with Penn State, again, he struggled to beat Ohio State and Michigan, which, you know, who else has? Everybody.
A lot of other people. Yeah.
So, exactly. You know, if that's his biggest sin is that he can't beat those teams, but he can kind of beat everyone else with consistency, that's a really good place for Virginia Tech to be. And that's, I mean, you feel better about what he's going to give you than you felt about what Fuente was going to give you and what you feel about what Brent Pry was going to give you. So this is impressive upgrade, I think, for them. Do we have terms on what the Hokies are paying Franklin?
It's a 5-year deal. They wouldn't disclose the actual amount of money. I can tell you what I heard, but this was pre-Penn State buyout. So Tech, I guess, started negotiations between 10 and a half. Franklin and Sexton obviously countered. The last number I heard was between 11 and 11 and a half per year. And then that money was going to obviously the amount was going to be dependent on incentives. That was before Penn State negotiated the buyout down to $9 million. So I don't know what that number is now, but it's only for 5 years.
I was going to say, I had seen that $11 million number, and that's a little bit eye-popping. Like, that's in the neighborhood of highest paid coach in the country, is it not?
It's, well, I mean, Lane's about to get probably 14 from LSU, but yeah it's going to be a top 10 situation.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Cam saying to FOIA the contract, I can't because it's not final yet.
Yeah.
It's final in terms of like Franklin's the coach, but it's working its way through, you know what, all the state legislator stuff. So
we're
still waiting on that. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be out there in probably a month or two.
Yeah. Plan to FOIA it, get all the sweet information on it. But yeah.
Yep. Well, if you're in luck and you live in a state where the football coach of the, you know, one of the biggest schools in the state doesn't try to get legislation changed to extend the FOIA window, then maybe you can get it in less than 3 months. But for residents of the state of Georgia, unfortunately, not the case. Here's what I will say, though, is
it's been 7 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I'll say this quickly. Grand slam hire. I don't think you could have asked for anything more. If you are looking for reasons that it might not work out or it might only be okay, I think they're out there. You can find them. But you can find those with basically any hire that is made in this coaching cycle or almost any others. So it's okay. Like, there, you know, none of us know what the future holds, and there's a chance that maybe it doesn't work out as well as we think it does. But for now, I don't know that you could bring in anybody with more credentials. You're not going to get Saban off the game day desk. You know, you weren't going to do any better than this. This is as good as you could have hoped for. Again, grand slam for Virginia Tech.
Recruiting, everything, you aced it. If this fails, it's, you can't do anything about it. You can't blame the athletic. You can't blame the committee. You can't blame Whit Babcock. There's if this fails, it fails. You're cooked. Absolutely. Is what it is. You're cooked.
Absolutely. We got new college football playoff rankings, Mike.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I'm basically just going to read them. I really am at this point. I'm not interested in.
Can we just wait a couple weeks and talk then about the rankings?
I'm kind of tempted to.
They don't really matter.
This committee is like.
They don't matter for a few weeks.
Absolutely full of it. Number 13, Miami. Number 16, Miami's up two spots to 13. Georgia Tech stays in place at 16. Virginia stays in place at 19. End of list. Louisville and Pitt both drop out. The one thing I do want to
continues.
The one thing I do want to bring up related to these rankings, and as it relates to the committee's mental gymnastics, Pitt falls out of the rankings here, right? After Notre Dame gets the win over number 22 Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. If Georgia Tech were to beat Pitt this weekend, does the committee credit Notre Dame with a ranked win against a Pitt team and then not credit Georgia Tech with a ranked win against a Pitt team?
They have been giving Notre Dame more credit for losing to Miami than they have been giving Miami for beating Notre Dame.
Mental gymnastics, Mike. All over the place.
I understand there's context. Notre Dame's better now than they were in week one. Miami is probably better week one than they are right now. I get there's context in there, but you cannot... I talked to Cam about this last night. You cannot ignore the head-to-head. You can't ignore it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
1,000%. It doesn't exist nearly enough in the sport, but where it does exist, it has to matter. And when you start devaluing it, it's like, why even play the games at all?
Right. So,
anyways.
Why put a group of five team in? You know, and all that stuff. I don't want to go in a playoff rant. I'll abstain.
Anything else before we review last week's locks?
Correct, Cam.
Can we skip that part?
Can we please skip the review of last week's locks?
Here's the review of my locks. They're all terrible and just fade me for the rest of the year.
There was one win from Joey.
Yeah. Okay. We'll start with mine then.
Yeah, please. Because there's a lot of red.
Locks from week 12. I'll start. Yeah, I had Clemson Louisville under 51.5. That came in. That was never really all that in doubt, as two teams really just fumbled the ball around for four quarters on Friday night. And then North Carolina Wake Forest under 39.5. That's a bad beat, Scott Van Pelt. That was pretty ridiculous. If Bill Belichick just doesn't call timeout at the very end of the game for no apparent reason. We have a 2-0 week, but instead it's 1-1, and I'm 11-16 on the year.
Should we discuss Scott and I's picks now?
Mike.
No.
Ed,
no.
Pitt, no. Plus 12.5. NC State, Miami, over 55.5. Boston College, team total, under 21.5. North Carolina, Wake Forest, under 39.5.
That's a bad
Scott
beat.
Notre Dame, Pitt, over 53.5. Boston College team total under 21.5. That is a combined 0-6 from Mike and Scott last week.
Cam did okay.
I don't know. I don't know if Mike, that's a golden sombrero from you. And I don't know that we've ever had one of those on this show. 0-4 on locks in a given week.
Ah, oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, it was bad vibes. You know, it was vibey pick night, and I lost a bunch of the vibey picks, so it is what it is.
Yeah. Mike, 10-21 on the year. Producer's pick of the week now, 3-11 on the year.
Bad. Talk about range of cheeks. Like... I am cheeks. Yeah, that's me.
I don't think we had any standard ACC locks from Cam last week, right?
No. His sickos did well, though. We'll get to those later.
Cam is the leader of this on the season at 3-1.
Yeah. I think that might end up holding up.
I'm in second place at five games under 500. So All right, let's flush week 12 and move on to week 13. How's that sound?
Let's do it. Bad week. We'll be better.
Yeah.
I mean, no, sure. Actually, with the records, I'm not sure we will be better, but, you know, we'll try.
I definitely won't be better.
We got 9 games, fellas. We got 15 ACC teams in action, 2 of them on byes. That is Boston College and Virginia. Kind of a scheduling oddity, by the way. Not normal to have byes at this time of the season, but we do, just with the way the calendar works out and, you know, mega conferences that make no sense anymore. But anyways, we got 3 out-of-conference games, including 1 FCS contest and a weeknight contest to start it off. So let's start there. Friday, November the 21st, 8 o'clock, ESPN. The Florida State Seminoles on the road in Raleigh, taking on the NC State Wolfpack. Florida State is a 6.5-point favorite. I think we got that on the graphic backwards. Hang on. Florida State is 6.5-point road favorite here. That's all right. Total is 59.5. Mike, I have trivia for you.
Okay.
When is the last time Florida State won a game away from Doak Campbell Stadium?
That would be sometime in the year when they went 13-0.
That would be the 2023 ACC championship game. That's correct. Yeah. Florida State has not won a home game in almost 2 full calendar years, or an away game, excuse me, a road game. They have not won a road game in almost 2 full calendar years. They are now laying almost a touchdown going into Raleigh, taking on the Wolfpack on a Friday night. Is this a senior night thing too for NC State, or are they?
It is.
Senior night for NC State. What are we doing?
Well, I have a doc in front of me that I can't believe you're doing this to yourself. I cannot. Well, I mean, who am I to judge with my record on lock this year, though?
Well, first of all, we know what this makes NC State.
It makes them our, I almost said Yako's home dog of the week. Our home field apparel home dog of the week.
Home field apparel, home dogs of the week, the NC State Wolfpack. As a reminder, use promo code GOACC24 at checkout for 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. All sorts of great vintage t-shirts and other apparel for all your favorite teams. NC State, the home dog of the week. I'm declaring that. And we're locking up NC State plus a 6.5.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
This is a good point from N. Dennis, by the way. This is also a bowl eligible game. Both these teams 5-5 playing for bowl eligibility. I mean, Florida State could win this game. NC State did not look great last week. Obviously, just like a total no-show against Miami. But I have to think at home, you're rebounding here. Florida State has not played well on the road in almost any situation in the last couple of years. I'm not going to overcomplicate this. Give me the points with NC State. I'm going to pick NC State to win this game on the field. No faith in Florida State, but the lock is on the spread.
Florida State. I'm picking Florida State.
Hmm.
Think they're better. Think NC State stinks.
And you think Florida State?
I don't think they're very good. But they. I don't trust either one of these teams, but NC State just did not look like they wanted to be there last week against Miami. That game was over quickly.
It's true.
So Cam makes a good point. NC State can't stop the run. Florida State, the best part of Florida State's offense is running the ball. I mean, with Castellanos or anybody else. So yeah, give me Florida State.
Does Florida State show up? I feel like they've been a really flaky team the second half of this year of like different effort levels week over week.
Does this game get Norvell fired if he loses?
At this point, I don't know.
They've already
firing.
Done that, right?
I mean, you would already fired him, I guess, but buyout keeps going with every game he coaches, keeps going down. So
that's fair. Total's 59.5. Give me the under, by the way. I could see this being a little bit, not that, I don't know, not that either team's defense has been playing awesome, but again, could see another weeknight, sloppy, you know, kind of situation as a potential, but definitely not locking that up this week.
Yeah. I'm going to join you on the under.
Yeah. That's fair. All right. Under for both of us. Mike laying them with Florida State. I have NC State plus the 6.5 on Friday night.
Hey, beauty. I had to step away for a minute. They're the home dogs. Did you do it?
We did.
Wonderful. Moving on.
Including a mini ad read and everything because we're good at this.
And I almost did one for Yakos as well, Scott. I almost referred to him as Yakos. Yep, wrong show. That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on and go to Saturday, November the 22nd. We'll do these, as always, in chronological order. We'll start at noon on ESPN2 as the Louisville Cardinals are on the road in Dallas, taking on the SMU Mustangs. SMU, a 3.5-point home favorite here. Total is 51.5. We've got some more injury news from Louisville. Apparently, Kewan Brown now joining Isaac Brown on the sideline at running back. Duke Watson still does not look like himself, so we're probably running out running back number 4 at this point, for what that's worth. I saw that Mark Ennis listed Miller Moss as objectionable for this weekend, so we'll see.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
Mike, I think I'm laying in with SMU here.
Me too. I'm joining you. I think we're going to find out here if Louisville's like ready to quit.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're going to find out here.
But it's funny because like a lot of times when a team quits, they're quitting on their coach.
Yeah.
I could halfway see them quitting on Miller Moss. Yeah. Like I don't think that this team like dislikes Jeff Brohm in the way that some of them have disliked Bobby Petrino or whatever. Like,
no, not a coach thing.
But I could absolutely see the Miller Moss thing wearing real thin on a lot of the guys in that locker room.
Yeah. I was thinking of the Paul Crew seeing the longest yard where the offensive line just lets the D line just cook.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that in college. We don't want to throw any games now. We don't want to do
right.
that.
Right.
No federal investigations here. But yeah, I don't think they're too happy with the Midler, as we know.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Midler on the roof, if you will.
Good job. I like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think, yeah, this Louisville team seems the way that they've lost the last couple of games. Remember, they're 7-3. Their three losses have been incredibly close, right? It was overtime against Virginia, it was overtime against Cal, and it was by several missed opportunities, losing by a point to Clemson last week. And yet, I feel like a back-to-back losses to Cal and Clemson the way they have, like, it feels like they could be on the verge of collapse here. So, I do not want to put any faith in them. I'll take SMU. I'm going to take the under here as well, under 51.5. SMU's offense has not been particularly great this year. It's been, you know, good enough. Obviously, they've won plenty of games, but not run up the score good. So, we will see what it looks like in Dallas on Saturday, but give me the under. I think this could be a little bit more low scoring.
I'm locking up the under. Give me under 51.5.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
SMU's defense, pretty good. Been playing well. Louisville's offense, Miller Moss. Bad. And SMU's offense, Joey, like you just mentioned, has been not particularly efficient at all times. And yeah. Miller Moss gonna jag off on Saturday.
Please.
I was trying to decide if I was gonna say it out loud or just put it in the comments, and
I didn't actually realize that you did that. So you and I made a joke at the exact same time, which is pretty funny. Just a guy. He's just a guy.
Yeah. When you do a podcast like this for 10 years, sometimes you start thinking the same way, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. SMU and the under for the both of us. Mike has under 51 and a half locked up here. Are we good to move on?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a, I don't love this board this week, by the way. Not some of these spreads. I'm like, eh.
I do want to say it would not stun me for Louisville to win this game.
No.
Like, I don't think this is unwinnable. Like, I think this is a reasonable spread. There's a reason I'm not locking up SMU minus 3.5. Obviously, the talent is there. The want to has to be there. And I feel like we have seen a couple games where Miller Moss has been better than others. You're going to need good Miller Moss, but if he shows up and your defense turns over Kevin Jennings a couple times, like, you can absolutely win this game. Like, not a problem, but it's just, you know, they need to put it together a little bit more than what we've seen the last couple of weeks. So we'll see if they can get that fixed in a road nooner like this.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll find out. SMU in the under for the both of us, under locked up for Mike. Let's keep moving. Still at noon. This one's on ESPN. The number 13 Miami Hurricanes on the road in Blacksburg, taking on the Virginia Tech Hokies. Miami, an 18 and a half point road favorite, totals 48 and a half. Huge spread, low total, not awesome. Hokies got a new coach, as mentioned, a little bit of an audition for guys currently on the roster. How are we feeling about the Hokies this weekend, Mike? Hokie Stone uniforms, I saw.
Yeah, vibes are high. We're doing everything this week. We're bringing out the Hokie Stone unis. We're rolling out the red carpet for James Franklin. He's on Pat McAfee. I mean, we're having a great time. We're just going on national television tours. It's what a week. This is a gigantic spread. I saw it yesterday at like 16 and a half. We're going up another couple points here in Miami's favor for some reason. Huge spread, like you mentioned, a total under 50. Gross. The only way that this game is close is if Miami lets it be close. That's the only way.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what version of Miami we're getting week to week. They've been playing well recently, though.
Mm-hmm.
But this just feels like a spot where Virginia Tech is going to lose by a lot. But can they keep it inside three scores?
Yeah.
Can you get a backdoor cover situation? Miami has not done the step on your throat thing consistently this year. They've gotten a lead and they've sat on it. We talked about that a bunch. I think Virginia Tech's going to have a lot of trouble moving the ball here. I think they're going to have trouble throwing it in particular. That's been an issue all year. If Miami lets Virginia Tech run and control the clock a little bit here, though, I could see a path for Virginia Tech covering. And for this game to go under 48 and a half. So give me Virginia Tech plus the 18 and a half. Do not think this is going to be very competitive. I think Miami wins by at least two scores. They could win by like 17, never competitive sort of thing. I think Tech will play well early. I think defense will get tired. I think Miami will hit some big plays, pull away. But yeah, give me Tech to cover here. And I think because of that, I have to take under 48 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the most points that you can imagine Virginia Tech scoring in this game?
17.
That was the number that came to my mind. Yeah.
See, this is the problem where I do podcasts with you for like a decade. This is what happens.
Yeah, in theory. By the way, I noted this in the comments, but Cam has now locked up in the comments SMU and Miami. So beautiful. I'm putting those in the sheet. They're official.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I'm going to join Cam and lay them with Miami. I'm not going to lock it up. I was very tempted to go with Virginia Tech. And I think the only reason that I won't is that a lot of my logic was like, oh, well, you know, it could be a backdoor cover kind of situation. You've got Miami in November in a kind of cooler environment going north, you know, away from home, all this stuff. And then I had to remember what happened at the end of that Stanford game. Mario knows the spread. Okay. I don't think that he's going to allow his team to let Virginia Tech just punch one in with a minute and a half left to make it, 28-10 to get the cover.
Virginia Tech's gonna have like 5'10" Pop Watson in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. Miami's gonna run their starters back out on the field when Tech gets in the red zone.
Reuben Bain trying to run up some numbers here. Yeah. So I'm gonna land with Miami and say that they win this a little bit comfortably. Yeah, it might be kind of low scoring, 31-7, something like that. So I like the under here as well. If anything, I'm honestly probably more tempted to lock up the under. I won't do it yet, but we might come back to it a little bit later.
Yep, fair enough.
All right. Miami in the under for me, Hokies in the under for Mike, and then Cam adding Miami minus the 18.5 locked up. I will note, too, though, Miami looked very businesslike last week against NC State. I mean, jumped on them pretty early and absolutely took care of business. Maybe Mario does have this team a little bit more focused than we're used to seeing in November. Like, and if that's the case, then yeah, this could be another just absolute floor wiping with Virginia Tech, same as they did with NC State last week. We'll have to see. All right. Anything else?
I've talked about Virginia Tech as much as I possibly can as it pertains to this football game. So I think we're going to move on.
Do you want to do another 25 minutes on how the Hokies 2025 season has been going, or
like... I don't think so. I think we're good. We don't need to do like a documentary or anything like that. Review sort of thing.
Fair enough. All right. Last one at noon on the ACC network as a producer Scott's Delaware Blue Hens on the road in Winston-Salem, taking on the Wake Forest Steamin' Deeks. Deeks, a 17.5 point favorite at home here. Total is 50.5. Scott, how are we feeling about the Blue Hens?
There it is. You knew it. Hell yeah, baby.
You knew.
Blue Hens plus 17.5. Producers pick of the week, baby. They've been feisty this year in CUSA. So, and Wake has been very up and down. I don't think it's crazy. So give me the Blue Hens, 17.5. Even if it's a homer pick.
I don't think it's crazy either. In fact, give me Delaware plus 17.5. We'll go ahead and lock that up.
You better lock it up.
All right, now everyone in the chat, if you want to make some money, just bet Wake Forest.
Roll Hens, baby. Give me the Blue Hens.
Fade the show. Wake at 7-3, and they got Duke on the road next week, by the way. So could be mild look ahead spot.
You want to join us?
I can't in good faith.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
There's another sound.
Have you considered bad faith?
Scott, we have another a sound for this, by the way.
Oh, we do. Don't we?
Double barrel.
Yeah.
There it is.
See, AI did do something good for once. Love that. I'm not going to join you on the lock, but yeah, give me Delaware plus a 17.5. Like, hands. I can absolutely see them finding a way to keep this. I don't know that they'll really threaten hen to up. Win. Hen up. That's right.
Hen up. That's right. Yep.
Drink
hen
some
up.
Henny, I guess. I don't know.
Popular in the streets of New York.
Cool guy. Yeah, I can see this being like 28-17, something like that. I think Delaware will fight and keep this close and make it a game. So give me the Blue Hens. Total's 50.5. Pass. I'm taking a lot of unders, so let's go over. Why not?
How many throats has Wake stepped on this year?
Not many.
Yep.
I mean, they stepped on Carolina's last week when given the opportunity.
When given the opportunity there. I mean, yeah, the flea flicker was insane. I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the total, Mike?
I don't know. I kind of feel like you do, where I almost have to pick over because it's like hen up.
Been a lot of overs. Been a lot of unders. All right. Delaware for all of us plus the 17.5. Locked up for Mike and the producer's pick of the week. And we both have over 50.5. Don't see Wake losing this game, I will say.
They shouldn't.
If you want a nice money line sprinkle. Ooh. Consider the hens.
Consider the hens.
What can we get? Can we get? Can we get 3-1?
Looking at 7-1. You can
do better than that.
Get Delaware plus 700.
Plus 700 to win
Jesus.
The game.
Yeah, of course. Sprinkle. Yes.
Just a little sprinkle. Just a little sprinkle.
Good God.
Yeah, that's all right. Fair enough.
Delaware right. did beat UConn this year. Just saying.
Yeah, that's a good UConn team.
Good UConn team. Yep. Good UConn. Husky up. Husky down.
Hmm.
Huh.
Delaware plus 17.5 for all of us. What Let's move on.
Go wrong.
3:30 on the ACC network. Let's go to Chapel Hill, where they're playing for the victory bell. It's the battle for the victory bell. The Duke Blue Devils on the road taking on the North Carolina Tar Heels. Duke, a 6.5-point favorite here. Total is 51.5. This is a rivalry series, obviously. North Carolina leads 64-41-4 overall, but Duke won last year to break a 5-game winning streak for the Tar Heels.
Hey, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Do the local Raleigh adult cheerleading results impact the outcome or the influence on this game?
Not all the precincts are in. I think we're still counting votes there.
I think so.
So obviously, I don't know if you guys saw, but there was a tweet a couple of days ago that was a couple of pictures snapped showing Bill Belichick at his girlfriend Jordan's adult co-ed cheerleading like team, I guess. It was a meet or a show or something.
An event.
The best thing that I saw was Peter Burns at ESPN retweeting it saying, by the way, becoming a member of an adult co-ed cheerleading team needs to be the number one punishment for finishing last in your fantasy league next
year. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Outstanding. I don't know, man. Like, Carolina's been playing a little bit better. Duke, by all means, should be a touchdown better in this game, but like, they have just found ways to be sloppy and let games be closer than they need to be and lose games that they shouldn't. They're just a very untrustworthy team, I feel like, especially laying close to a touchdown here. So give me Carolina plus the 6.5. I think they at least keep this close. They could win this game, honestly. Let Darian Mensah make a couple mistakes. More importantly, total's 51.5. Carolina games right now, not pointy. We're locking up under 51.5.
Double barrel.
You lock it up. Lock it up.
Please. Double barrel.
Join you on the under. Yeah, join you on the under. Darian Mensah with the turnover issues. North Carolina with just moving the ball issues in general. I would be very surprised unless we get a defensive score. This feels about 4 or 5 points too high to me.
I mean, Carolina just had a game where the total was 39.5. Yeah. And they were a dumb last second timeout away from that getting there, like
right.
going under that. Now it's 51.5. Like,
yeah.
I know Duke's defense has been a little bit leaky, but Carolina still can't move the ball. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I think Carolina's defensive line can have some success against this Duke front also. Like, that's been an issue this year for Duke. Running the football has not been good to them, and a lot of pressure has been put on Darian Mensah. I do like the matchup up front for Carolina's defensive line, which has been the best part of their defense against Duke's offensive line. This is an under game for me. I think Carolina plus 6.5. I think there's a chance they win this game outright. Duke is better, but like you said, Joey, laying almost a touchdown in a rivalry game. I can't even really call it's yeah, technically on the road, but they're all together there, like a 20-minute drive or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But laying almost a touchdown in a rivalry game. Yeah, this is a big one. This would put Belichick in the good graces of the athletic department, the fans, if they beat Duke this weekend. That would be a good thing to do for him.
It would go a long way.
Yep. I'm
trying to remember. Carolina 4-6. So they need this for bowl eligibility. Duke has already gotten there. They're 5-5. They haven't gotten there yet either. And they got wait next week too. So Duke needs to win one of these final two to even make a bowl game, which again, super weird year for the Blue Devils.
Very weird. Love the under though.
Yeah. Love the under. Did you say you're on Carolina plus 6.5?
I'm on Carolina plus 6.5. Maybe outright.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll leave that one alone from in. Yeah. You know what? They're at home. Sure. Carolina outright. They win the game on the field.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Say it with your chest.
There you go. With my chest. Yeah. After stumbling around in my words for 20 seconds on it. That's fine. All right. Anything else on this game?
Nope.
I was going to throw out, I was looking at the Wikipedia page for this game earlier as I was prepping for the show. Did you know Carolina won this game every single year except for one from 1990 to 2011? That is 22 renditions of this game that the official scorebook would tell you 19 wins for Carolina, one win for Duke, and two vacated Carolina wins. So
the vacated ones are funny.
Yeah, yeah. Who can say if those games actually happened or not?
Vacating wins, this is another college football soapbox take. Dumbest thing of all time. But anyway, continue. Yeah.
All right, Carolina for the both of us and under 51.5, double barrel locked. I don't know if we have stats on the double barrel locks this season, but I'm pretty sure we don't want them. So
they can't be good. They can't be good.
I mean, the stats on our other locks are great, so those can't be, you know, can't be bad.
Right.
Anyways, all right. Moving on. We will keep it at 3:30. This one's on NBC and Peacock as the Syracuse Orange are on the road. This is in South Bend, right?
It is.
It's not like a MetLife Stadium situation or anything like that. Okay, South it's in Bend. South Bend. Yeah. Taking on the number 9 Notre Dame Fighting Irish in what they're calling a name your score game. I don't really know what that means, but we'll get into it here. Notre Dame is a 35.5 point favorite in this game. Totals 50.5. Implied score math is hilarious.
A lot too little.
Yeah, this is what, like 42-7 or something would be the implied score here. Yikes. Syracuse announced that they're going to be starting Joseph Filardi again. I don't know. Are we punishing Ricky Collins? Are we trying to save Ricky Collins?
You're punishing Joe Filardi, aren't you?
Yeah. What did Joe Filardi ever do to deserve this? This is a name your score special for Notre Dame. I don't know what the... I would assume the team total here for Syracuse is like 7.5. My favorite pick here, honestly, might be to go under that. But that, in a way, it feels a little too easy. Like... is something else going to come out of that? I don't know.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Lay him with the Irish.
Fair enough.
That statement will make a lot more sense here in about 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well. All right. We'll come back to that.
Okay. Maybe. Beautiful.
I will also. Yeah. Go ahead. Finish what you're saying. Sorry.
I was just going to say, we will. We will come back to this. This will not be the last we're hearing of this game this evening.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I will. Yeah. I'll also lay him with Notre Dame. Notre Dame in pretty good position for the playoff right now, but style points don't hurt. And I don't know how much this Syracuse team has left in the tank at this point, going on the road into South Bend. Only thing I can imagine, I did extensive research preparing for this show. Notre Dame in their final game next week, they're traveling to Stanford. So that's 10:30
Eastern kickoff next week. The Notre Dame beat writers were not happy.
Yeah, well, sorry, cry me a river.
It's a tough job having to cover college football for a living, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That must really suck.
Feel so terrible for Pete Sampson and whoever else.
Was that supposed to be like a meta joke there, Mike, as that is literally your job?
The ones that have to travel to cover it, I guess I could just do it from the comfort of my home, which is nice. Yeah.
I'll lay in with Notre Dame. I guess I'll take the under. I would not recommend betting this game. This is a massive spread and a massive difference, and it's all about whether Notre Dame wants to call off the dogs or not. So, like, I would just leave this alone.
Again, I think they're going to just give the ball to Jeremiah Love about 20, 30 times, see how many touchdowns he can get, and then call off the dogs.
Yeah.
God, but I'm still upset that ESPN didn't think of the Pete writers. It's horrible.
Won't somebody think of the media?
Why couldn't this be an 11 o'clock start?
Yeah, right. Are you on the under as well here, Mike, or you think Notre Dame goes over by themselves?
I think they go over by themselves.
That's fair.
I think they go over by themselves. My only question is whether or not Notre Dame beats Syracuse worse than they beat Arkansas. That's my only question.
So, you know what? Give me the over.
Producer's pick of the week?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Over 50 and a half.
I'm just shooting from the hip now because I'm so far in the hole that I got to try to make up somewhere.
I mean, there is some logic with the choice, right?
I have to go 8-0 to get back to 500. Like, I'm going to be picking deep into bowl season here about trying to keep the ball out of this hole.
This guy's going to be chasing picks at the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
I thought you were going to mention the other bowl game, and I was going to come through this screen and beat your ass. And you know exactly what bowl game I'm talking about.
The one on Christmas Eve that you and I both watched that went really, really poorly for the two of us.
Yeah. It's the worst beat of my life, I swear.
Yeah.
Hated Zach Wilson ever since.
Zach Wilson.
Remembering some dudes. All right. Notre Dame for myself and Mike. I've got the under. Mike's got the over. And Scott has over 50 and a half as producer's pick of the week number two. Are we good to move on here?
We are.
Last one in this afternoon window at 4:30. Yeah, that's 4:30 on the CW is, you know, my favorite place to watch Clemson football in the afternoon.
What an addition. Oh my God.
This is what happens when we start the show late, is producer Scott gets in the lab.
Oh my God. I remember seventh heaven drop in years.
You've been making that joke about the CW since they started putting games on there. And today I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do something about it.
Today's the day.
Right between Seventh Heaven and the Gilmore Girls, we get Furman at Clemson.
Yeah. We don't have a spread. We don't have a total. We're not really making picks on this game. But, name your score situation for Clemson. Make yourself feel good about yourself. Get to bowl eligibility and then go play South Carolina next week.
I have nothing.
What kind of year is Furman having? They're 6-5.
Can't find a spread anywhere?
They're in the Southern Conference. Last week they beat VMI 32-14. And prior to that, two straight losses to Mercer and UT Chattanooga.
There was a bad beat in that Furman VMI game, by the way. That made its way into the segment.
I missed it on Monday.
Yeah.
There you go.
We got who's betting on this situation.
Somebody show me the ticket, please. we're good here. This is a big nothing burger, and I'll be surprised if anyone watches it. Do CW ratings count for payouts? People got to know.
If they count more than ACC Network, that would be really funny and ironic in a lot of ways.
Cam has Clemson minus 41.5 with a 54.5 total on FanDuel right now.
Give me the under.
Implied score math. What is this, like 48-6? I think that works. Thereabouts. Yeah. I might go Furman team total over for Sicko's picks. You get the insight. I know when that hotline blink. Call the hotline. And no, Nuke Jacket, there is no... Our favorite South Korean baseball team is on a bye week this week, so... We'll revisit them next week, I'm sure.
Yes, no underdogs this week.
What does the CW do on rivalry week? We'll have to find out.
Oregon State and... who's on their schedule?
It would be a lot more helpful if ESPN hadn't held half the freaking games on next week's slate.
I bet you can guess what game it is next week.
Boston College Syracuse from the JMA Wireless Dome.
Yep.
The grossest game of the year.
There you go.
By the way, I'll take the under in that one.
All right.
It's as low as $3 for that game next week.
There you go.
I'd rather just bet $3 on it.
How many tickets do I have to buy to trade for one beer at the stadium?
Can I bet first quarter spread and then use that to buy beer?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right. Should we move to the evening slate?
We shall.
We shall. Let's do it. Let's go to 7:00 ESPN. Bobby Dodd Stadium, Atlanta, Georgia, the Pittsburgh Panthers on the road, taking on the number 16 Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Jackets, a 2.5-point home favorite here. Total is 61.5. Georgia Tech win here clinches an ACC championship game berth. Desmond Reed got carried off the field last week, listed as questionable. Maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. Mike, unbiased opinion here. How are you feeling about this game?
Well, I'd like to bring up Cam's comment first. Cam is a huge Pitt fan this weekend, not because he likes to see your demise, Joey. That's just an added bonus.
Cam from these comments yet?
It's because if Georgia Tech wins this game, Miami is eliminated from ACC championship game contention. So Georgia Tech has a chance to do the funniest thing ever. Sorry, Cam. How do I feel about this? I don't feel great about it for Georgia Tech because I just watched Georgia Tech's defense last week, and that was horrendous. Now, the good news is that Georgia Tech plays a lot better at Bobby Dodd than they do on the road. It is a night game. They need it really bad. I think they're going to get it. Give me Georgia Tech. I'll lay the 2.5. I'm really looking forward to watching this game. Think Pitt, mm-hmm. Pitt could easily win this game. This is as coin flippy as coin flippy can get. I think Georgia Tech wins this game inside a touchdown. At the end of the day, the rationale for me is that no matter how poorly Georgia Tech's defense plays, it seems like Haynes King always has an answer on the other side of the ball. Always mm-hmm. has an answer. Been pulling him out of the muck all year. I made the comparison of Haynes King to Cam Ward and what in terms of impact that he was making on this roster this year. I think this is a game that's going to get a lot of eyes, national television. It gives Haynes King a chance to really put his stamp on the game and give the nation opportunity to see how good he is and give him an opportunity to get to New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. So yeah. This is, I'm on the Jackets. Don't make me regret it.
I see a spread like this. It's a bit of a Vegas 2.5 for home field, and otherwise you guys figure it out, you know, even teams on a neutral field, basically. I will say I like the over here, again, with how the defensive efforts have been for Georgia Tech the last couple of games. Pitt's offense has moved the ball well. Georgia Tech has moved the ball well on everybody. I could see this easily getting to a shootout-y kind of situation. So that's probably my strongest take here on a certain level, but on another level, I've got the comments begging me to lock up one team or the other here. So I guess we got to do it. Here's the thing. Pitt coming off of a tough game last week against Notre Dame, and Mason Heinschel had a lot of problems.
He did.
And he, I mentioned this on the recap, is you wonder a freshman quarterback like that, like, is the psyche impacted by a tough scene like that? Desmond Reed might not be playing in this game. I think he probably will, but like at what, capacity, is he okay? I don't know. It is senior night. They're technically, the Georgia game next week is a home game, but they're doing the senior night festivities here at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Haynes King and a number of the leaders of this team will be walking, playing their final game in that stadium, assuming they don't host a playoff game. So lots of emotions, lots of eyeballs everywhere. A lot of things I think would point towards a Georgia Tech team that has played better at home. Mike, I know when things seem a little bit too good to be true.
Oh, no.
And they do.
Oh, no.
It's all just a little too easy. Pitt's coming in. All you got to do is win at home like you've done all year, like you did all last year, and you're going to Charlotte.
Yeah.
I've seen the way that defense has played the last two games.
Yep.
It's all a little bit too easy.
Oh, no.
Producer Scott, we're locking up the Pitt Panthers. Hail the Pitt.
Oh, jeez.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please. Well, Joey, that's unfortunate. I'm going to leave and restart my computer, and then I'll come back because now I'm just a black screen. I knew this was going to happen.
I just really upset Mike with that pick. Call it an emotional hedge. Call it, a reverse jinx, whatever. I've talked about it on this show. I'm a trained Atlanta sports fan. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it all just seems so easy. The comments are thrilled.
You're just giving the people what you want, what they
want.
That's
right. That's right. That's what this show is about, Scott, is giving the people what they want. Give me the Panthers.
Hey, people, do you want another producer's pick of the week?
I mean, what can it hurt at this point?
Over 61 and a half.
Over 61 and a half. I like that pick.
Just because, again, trying to claw out of this hole. So hopefully we go 3-0 this week and we're a little bit closer. Or we'll go 0-3 again and just fade me, people. Just fade me.
I got really close to wearing my 13-9 shirt on the show tonight. Just like going full NWO, like, you know. Heel turn, the whole thing. No, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. I am not looking forward to sitting around all day waiting for this game to start at what will be 6 o'clock Central Time.
You'll have plenty of things to do. Go in the attic, get the Christmas decorations out, play with the lovely children you have.
We're not getting Christmas decorations out before Thanksgiving, no, Scott.
I'm not saying put them up.
We got to have principles.
Whoa. I didn't say put them up. I said get them out.
Okay.
Get them ready. Right. At least for me, they're all the way up in the attic, and it's like a pain to get to. So that's what I'm doing this weekend. I'm bringing them all down. So for next week, they're ready for Black Friday. Yeah.
And turkey time. I like that. Yeah, I think everyone's kind of in agreement. Over is the play here from a total standpoint. But I, hope I'm wrong. I'll gladly give this lock away and take that on my record on the year if I'm wrong here. But I don't know. I'm a broken man inside when it comes to being a sports fan. So there it is.
I'm back, Joey. That was a quick restart at the computer. If you had restarted, we would have been here until next Tuesday waiting for you to come back.
Yeah, I would have logged in midway through the recap. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Hour in, we still have been waiting on Joey.
I assume you're on the over here as well, Mike?
I'm on the over, yes.
Fair enough.
Think all I have right. to be.
Oh, Mike, I made another producer's pick of the week.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, I mean, why not? Let's just keep firing from the hip.
That's right. It's that meme of you keep digging. You just got to keep digging and get to those diamonds, Scott.
I've paid for diamonds. I'd rather do that than dig.
I feel that. All right. Over 61 and a half for all of us. That's producer's pick of the week, number 3.
Yes, sir.
And I'm locking up Pittsburgh plus the 2.5 in this game. Mike on Georgia Tech minus the 2.5. Are we good to move on?
We are.
Not without a nice ad read.
We got to tell the people what they need to wear to this game if they're looking for something. That's something from section103.com, where you can use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. Wonderful t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies. Things for men, women, children, babies, something for the whole family. They got hats. They got polos, super high quality, all official word marks, official Tech Gold, all sorts of wonderful stuff. They got the Feliz Bobby Dodd shirts. One of those might be making its appearance on the show here in the next couple of weeks. We'll have to see. But they've got those back in stock when the season is upon us. They've got things for Georgia Southern, Kennesaw State, LSU, if you got other friends and family in your life who needs something for those schools, go get it all, section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. It is all high quality. It looks phenomenal. You will love yours. We love ours. Appreciate Steven and the gang for their support. Looking forward to Steven, I assume, being at this game. So, best of luck and, go find him. Go support him, section103.com.
Love their stuff.
Yep. Do it. Wear it. Be about it.
All right. Last one. 7:30 on the ACC Network. Fellas, it's the big game. It is Cal on the road at Stanford. Cal, a 3.5-point road favorite here. Totals 47.5. This is the big game. It is played for the Stanford Axe. Stanford leads this all time. The band was on the field. That's right. And that, so this is funny. I've got a thing I'm going to read you here. So Stanford does lead this series all time 65-51 to 11. So it's 11 ties. But Cal has won 5 of the last 6 going back to 2019. There is an entire Wikipedia page on this rivalry and specifically on the Stanford Axe. And some of the traditions around this were really actually pretty fun. So first of all, one of the things you find out is, let's see. Depending on which school holds the axe, the trophy's recorded score for the 1982 big game is changed. This is part of a continuing dispute surrounding the play, the last play in the final seconds of the 1982 game, which ended with a kickoff return marked by 5 laterals. During the play, the Stanford band, believing the game was over and that Stanford had won, ran onto the field. Referees declared the touchdown as legal and Cal won the game. However, Stanford contends that one of the 5 laterals in that play was an illegal forward pass and that a Cal player was tackled before he lateraled the ball. As a result, whenever Stanford wins the axe, the 1982 score is changed on the trophy from Cal 25-20 to read Stanford 20-19. Despite this practice, the official score must be on the axe prior to the start of each big game, no matter who has it at the time.
You know what I found out about that game? You know, band is on the field, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That game was also televised on ACC Network. Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty wild.
Weird. It has been a long-standing conference rivalry.
Yeah. This is a really fun rivalry. For those who don't know much of anything about it, highly recommend doing a little bit of research because there's some fun stuff that goes on there.
My favorite stat of the week about this game is the most expensive ticket to get into an ACC game this weekend at $141 to get in the door. So
wow.
California, expensive state. But I think that's pretty wild. Like, because Stanford's not having the best season. Cal's having an okay year. I just think that's a lot, but I guess because the rivalry is so big. So
we got Stanford football updates in the chat declaring that the knee was down, the lateral was forward. Ha 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 ha.
They liked my joke.
Yeah. Well done. Thank you. How do we feel about the 128th rendition of the big game, Mike?
Cal. Lamb.
Hmm.
Lamb.
I could see this turning into rivalry game weirdness.
That, and I think this is Stanford's like Super Bowl, right? Because they got Notre Dame next week, and that might not go so great for them. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Give me Stanford at least with the points.
Stanford 3-7, Cal 6-4, already bowl eligible. I think with the way that both of these team seasons have gone, it is a little bit hard to say what's going to happen here. Like, I could see almost anything happening here and either of these teams winning by 10 points. I think I lean with Cal with Mike, but I don't feel all that confident in it. Like, Stanford could absolutely win this game.
Yes.
I do think Cal has a little bit more on offense and is a little bit more suited to stop Stanford's run game, but I'm kind of grasping at straws. These are two pretty relatively even teams, even if the records don't say that. Stanford has improved throughout the year. Cal, you know, has kind of had some ups and downs, but I think, you know, on balance is a pretty decent, you know, middle of the road ACC team. So I think they'll be okay here. I guess lay them with Cal, but I could see this going any number of directions. I don't feel strongly about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Cal, not with a lot of confidence. Under, yeah. By the way, under 47.5. Under.
Yeah, totals 47.5. This feels a little bit like a rock fight kind of situation. I could see this being like 20-17 or something like that as a final score.
Yeah.
Good question from N. Dennis. Any idea of who they might hire?
No.
I haven't heard a peep about that coaching search. Has it started? I don't even know.
It's a private school, right? So maybe it's hard to get info out of there. I don't really know. Not super familiar with the Cardinal.
Ooh, Stanford football updates with some insight. Maybe there have been some goings on with that coaching search. I cannot disclose.
Yeah.
Circle back.
Yeah. Producer Scott felt the same way on our recap episode on who Virginia Tech was going to hire.
My source was Mike, if people didn't figure that out.
What?
First I'm hearing of this.
All right. Cal and the under for both of us, but should be a fun watch if you're looking for something else to watch during that time window.
The fact this is not at 10 p.m. is harrowing.
Yeah. Why are we playing Cal Stanford at 4:30 local time?
It's the ACC network game. Like it always has been.
That should be a 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock local start. That's what that should be. That's heresy. Yeah.
The ACC doesn't want to have their production truck out past 10 p.m. apparently.
Clearly. The ACC huddle has to go home at some point, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Should we recap some locks here?
We shall.
Let's do it. All right. I have NC State plus the 6.5 against Florida State on Friday night. Mike, under 51.5 in Louisville SMU. Cam has SMU minus the 3.5 in that game as well. Cam has Miami minus the 18.5 against Virginia Tech. Mike has Delaware plus the 17.5 against Wake Forest, and that is also producer's pick of the week number one. Mike and I both have under 51.5 in the Duke North Carolina game. Scott's producer's pick of the week number two is over 50.5 again in Syracuse Notre Dame.
Rack them up, baby.
I have Pitt plus the 2.5 at Georgia Tech, and Scott has producer's pick of the week is over 61.5 in Pitt, Georgia Tech.
Cam has Notre Dame minus a lot.
Notre Dame minus the number for Cam. I'll add that to our sheet as well. All right, fellas. Fun week ahead. That's all I got on week 13. Anything else before we get out of here? Oh dear.
I don't care. I'm a sickos.
Sickos picks of the week.
Never gets
week
old.
13.
Yeah. Funny story about the sound drop. I was on the Peloton this morning. My Peloton's right there. And Sicko Mode was one of the songs. And I just, when the beat dropped, I just automatically said, I don't care, I'm a sicko, while I'm riding the Peloton.
It just sounds right. It just sounds right. All right, Sicko's picks. Let's look at last week's picks from week 12. We had a profitable week. At least Scott and I did. Let's start with, I'll just go down the sheet as in order. Mike, you had a 1-3 week. You had Georgia State plus 7.5 against Marshall. Penn State minus 7.5 at Michigan State. Baylor plus 7.5 at Utah. Tennessee Tech plus the 21.5 against Kentucky. 1-3 week, 11-14 on the year. I had Tulsa plus the 2.5 against Oregon State. Out there on the field, East Carolina minus the 3.5 against Memphis, by the hook, and South Alabama minus 5.5 against ULM. 3-0 for your boy, 12-5 on the year. Producer Scott had Nevada,
yes, sir,
plus a 6.5 against San Jose.
Whoa, that was 9.5, won 55-10, baby.
Yep. To clarify, Nevada was almost a 10-point underdog and won by 45 points.
Game. That's going to get investigated by the feds, I think.
Yeah, what happened there? What did Scott know?
What did you know, Scott?
I said, both these teams suck. They're getting almost 10 at home. Let me take them. I didn't project them to win by 45. That was on their own doing.
Absolutely ran it up. And then also had Scott's Wyoming.
Scott's had an interesting week, and it's because the mob's after him. Yeah.
And my last name does fit in with them. Yeah.
There you go. And then he also had Wyoming, Fresno State under 40.5. 2-0 on the week, 6-10 on the year. And then finally, our guy Cam, Fresno State, Wyoming over 39.5. Air Force, UConn over 63.5. North Texas, UAB first half over 35.5. Penn State, Michigan State first half total under 24.5. That cut to 24 points. It got there by the hook. And Boston College first half team total under 9.5. Shout out to Blake Gideon and the fight in Georgia Tech defense for ruining that one late in the first half. Fellas, we move on to week 13. Can I start with Cam's picks?
Yes, sure.
He sent us these yesterday afternoon. Some of these lines might have moved, but we will honor what he sent us because we're busy people and could not do the show yesterday. Cam this week, starting out Minnesota Northwestern. First half under 20.5. That is a first half rock fight. Call the hotline. He has Georgia first half minus 24.5 against Charlotte. No sleepy start there for the dogs in Athens. Nevada, Wyoming under 41.5. All right. All right. Hawaii, UNLV over 64.5. That could be a really fun game.
Yeah, that could be. That could be first one to 40 potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that pick. And he has James Madison minus 13.5 at home against Wazoo. I don't mind that either. Good picks.
We just got a note from Scott, so I think you and I are going to go first.
Uh-oh.
Because Scott's cooking something up over there, and I don't want to distract him. Joey, I'd be happy to go first if you'd like me to.
Yeah, go for it.
I have three picks this week.
Okay.
You'll recall that Ole Miss was a gigantic favorite a few weeks ago when I was in Disney against the Citadel, and I took the Citadel, and that came home for me. We're getting to that point in November where these SEC schools are playing teams that nobody has ever heard of except those who went to said school. I've heard of this school that I'm about to mention, Joey, but the same principle applies. Texas A&M, it took a lot out of them last week. They had to stage a wild comeback against South Carolina after playing the worst half of football they could have possibly taken. Came all the way back, won the game, played hard. Stalling for you, Scott. This week they're hosting Samford, Joey. Samford is a 54.5 point underdog. What's Samford's mascot? Are they Bulldogs?
Yes, I believe they are.
Give me the Bulldogs plus the 54.5.
Is that enough points?
We're going to find out together. Let's go to the Big 12. Oklahoma State is playing UCF at the Bounce House.
I looked at this one. Good
UCF.
Lord.
UCF is not very good. Oklahoma State's been on interim coach for basically as long as Virginia Tech had been. They're looking for new leadership. UCF is laying almost two touchdowns at home to an Oklahoma State team that is pretty much the same as they are. Like, they are not that much worse than Oklahoma State's not that much worse than UCF. I know the records say otherwise. I'm telling you with my two eyes, there's no way this UCF team is two scores better than Oklahoma State. Give me the Cowboys plus 13.5. And I mentioned earlier, I'd be coming back to the Notre Dame game. Joey, and the one thing I didn't mention, because I didn't want to spoil anything, the one thing I didn't mention when I was making that pick is that I'm not sure how many times Syracuse is going to cross midfield with Joe Filardi, a quarterback. And because of that, Joey, yes, Syracuse, the team total is 6.5 for the game. But why not take it a step further? You know?
You got like a shutout prop you're going to here, or like...
In a manner of speaking, Syracuse first half team total under 2.5.
Just a field goal, just anything.
I'm not sure. Safety. I'm not. I'm going to take the under on Syracuse crossing the 50 yard line. You know, if you put that line at 2.5, I think I'd take the under.
That's outstanding. Syracuse first half shutout.
At plus money, I'm getting like plus 136 on that.
I was filling out the document. What was it you had on Okie State and UCF?
Cowboys plus 13.5.
I thought about it and I was like, I don't need this. I don't need to trust Oklahoma State to do a single damn thing at this point of this season. Like they, yeah, that's a thing. Okay.
Well, a Will Secor comment. Yes, in a way, yes. Mike is on a mission to find a better where he's got only one, where he's the only one betting on that thing. In other words, yes, when Scott Van Pelt and Stanford Steve on Monday nights are doing their bad beat segment and they're asking who bet on this, here he is. Right here.
Looks like you've inspired Cam Ruttrow.
I'm cooking up something crazy next week. Can't wait.
Samford plus 54.5, Syracuse first half team total under 2.5, and Oklahoma State plus 13.5 against UCF. All right, I'll go real quick, give Scott some time to finish up here.
He's good.
I'm good. I'm ready.
You can go now if you want, Scott.
All right, guys. So what I was making for the last 5 minutes, we're talking about sickos, right?
This is definitely not copyrighted, right?
We're going back to the Mac.
Not that our show knows anything about copyrighted content.
Yeah, I mean, now we'll just make another RSS.
3 seconds won't get you. Well, 3 seconds won't get you dinged. At least that's what they tell me. Looking at the board, and I was like, "What's out there? Let's look at the Mac." Hence the sound. For those of you that don't know that song in the chat, you're missing out. Return of the Mac, Mark Morrison. Anyway, you guys heard of the Rockets of Toledo?
Mm-hmm.
I have.
You got a real rocket.
So, 20 at Bowling Green.
There are plenty of jokes there about rockets. they're welcoming Ball State into town.
That's fitting.
Ball So Hard University plus 28.5.
Oh, hell yeah. Toledo. Hell yeah. Go Cards.
Toledo hasn't really blown anyone out. Ball State hasn't really been blown out except for one game against Western, which seems like kind of fluky. Give me the Ball State Ballers. I don't know. Remember last year when Joey said they're from Ball, Ohio? That's Ball not Ohio. True.
Ball, Ohio.
Yeah. Ball's not even right. A state, Scott.
Correct. Either is Boise.
That was an all-timer. I forgot about that.
Oh, I didn't mention that I also have 4 sickos this week.
Ball, Ohio.
I wasn't listening too closely for your guys' picks. Did anyone go back to the Charlotte well? Oh, it looks like Cam did. I'm with Cam. Georgia first half against Charlotte. Way to go, Cam.
Oh, yeah. Double barrel. Play the sound.
We're on the same.
Double barrel.
We're on the same wavelength there, Cam. Let's go.
After you went head to head with him last week.
Let's say fighting last week. In agreement this week.
Let's go, Cam. All right. My third pick of the week. South Carolina Gamecocks are playing the Chanticleers. Coastal Carolina. I think South Carolina is okay. Coastal has been up and down all year. They're catching 10.5 in the second half spread. I think that game could get a little bit out of hand in the second half. Give me Coastal plus 10.5 second half spread. I was looking at fourth quarters. I was looking at fourth quarters, but I couldn't find one where I liked it a lot. And then the last pick of the week, we're going to the SEC, which is weird because neither of these teams used to be in the SEC. Oklahoma, Missouri. Only because I was getting plus money on the Oklahoma team total over 24.5.
At plus money.
Plus money, plus 100. So I said, I'll take the plus money, Oklahoma team total over 24.5.
Thank you to Volusia's Orange, by the way. Ball is my favorite state in the country. Got my back. I appreciate that. It means a lot. All right. I will take it here. Let's go. I'm going to go back to this well, and I don't like it. I don't think it's really worked out that well for me this year, but we're going to go back there anyways. I'm feeling patriotic, Mike.
Yeah, are you? South Alabama?
USA.
Yeah.
USA. Give me the Jags +1.5 at home against Southern Miss.
Oh, yeah. Home dog. We like that.
Yeah. Home dog, regional rivalry of sorts. I don't know that either of these teams necessarily is all that great. I do think Southern Miss is like 7-3. South Al is like 3-7. Why is this number this small? Tells me something. Give me the home dog. Give me the Jaguars +1.5. Let's stay in the South with another home dog. Let's go to Georgia Southern.
Go to Statesboro.
We're going to go buy something from section103.com and use promo code GOACC for 10% off our first order, supporting their Georgia Southern line. And we're going to take the Eagles +11.5 at home against Old Dominion. That's a big number. Georgia Southern had a couple good games in a row. They're on a winning streak here. I just don't think Old Dominion deserves to be a double-digit road favorite here against the Eagles. So give me Georgia Southern to get to bowl eligibility here.
Especially when their head coach is getting looks as offensive coordinator somewhere else.
Could be anywhere.
Could be anywhere.
For any coach that he previously worked under. Who's to say?
You heard it here first. From producer Scott.
Please credit producer Scott.
Please credit.
And finally, we're gonna go against the well that got us there last week.
Looked at this too. Yep. Looked at this.
I was on East Carolina last week. We're going against East Carolina this week because East Carolina now is on the road in the Alamo Dome, taking on the UTSA Roadrunners. Meet. Roadrunners catching 2.5 at home. Roadrunners way better at home than on the road, to the point that people are asking questions about what exactly is going on in the Alamo Dome that's not going on in all the other stadiums that they play in.
They're banging trash.
Crowd noise.
Yeah.
I'm just saying give me the 2.5 with the Roadrunners, and we'll do that. That's three sickos picks of the week. And I just want to point out that I did not go to any Power 4 conferences with my picks, for the record, fellas.
So we can't criticize you this week for your picks and the validity of
that, Joey.
Not this week. You can criticize me once the results come in and I inevitably come crashing back down to earth like a house of cards.
Yeah, but I also didn't see first half team totals less than a field goal either, you know?
Yeah. Well, that takes, you know, more than 6 minutes of research, which is a lot to ask.
Yeah.
I don't think you need 6 minutes of research on Syracuse, but sure.
I probably need a seventh minute to research the hotline.
Syracuse is over here catching strays from producer Scott. I like that. All right, producers, sickos picks of the week. Mike has Samford +54.5 against. Oh, why did I not write this down? They're at.
You can do it, Texas A&M, Joey.
Texas A&M, that was the one. All right, Samford +54.5 at Texas A&M. Syracuse first half team total under 2.5 against Notre Dame. And Oklahoma State +13.5 at UCF. I am on South Al +1.5 against Southern Miss. Georgia Southern +11.5 against Old Dominion. And UTSA +2.5 against East Carolina. Scott is on Ball State +28.5 at Toledo. Georgia first half -24.5 against Charlotte. Coastal Carolina second half +10.5 at Coastal Carolina, or at South Carolina. And Oklahoma team total over 24.5 against Missouri. Cam has Minnesota Northwestern first half under 20.5. Georgia first half -24.5 versus Charlotte, along with producer Scott. Nevada, Wyoming under 41.5. Hawaii, UNLV over 64.5. And James Madison -13.5 against Washington State at home. Your sickos picks of the week, everybody.
Beautiful. Oh, yeah. Well done.
Fun week. Okay, now for real. That's all I've got in week 13. Anything else before we should get out of here?
No.
Mercer, Will Secor says Mercer to cover against Auburn. That is another huge spread game. Auburn starting a freshman quarterback. A very good one.
With an interim head coach.
What's the line?
Oh boy.
It's smaller than 54 and a half because I looked at it.
51.
It is
46.
Mercer's 9-1, by the way, and really pretty good. So careful, Auburn.
You have a chance to do the funniest thing ever. 27.5.
27.5. There you go. Who was it I saw? Did I see this right? Did you guys see that there was someone who fired their coach early in the year? In the last week or two, didn't someone's interim head coach get fired too? Did I see that right? Was that from the Mac or something?
Can you imagine firing the interim?
No, like I've never heard of that. And then
you're
I
out too.
I like, is this? I don't know what's real anymore. Is it AI? Like who knows? But like, you want to talk about getting the interim fired? If Auburn loses to Mercer, who's your interim head coach to coach against Bama in the Iron Bowl next week?
John Summerall. I kept getting people asking me if James Franklin was going to coach the game this weekend. I'm like, how dumb are people?
Do we not know how this works by now?
They're not going to coach a game without their staff or their players.
Yeah, no.
They have enough going on. They're trying to put together their own staff and recruit and look at the portal and evaluate the team. They're not then going to come in and game plan with a bunch of coaches they haven't worked with before. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's not how that works. So it's okay. I mean, everyone, you know, every time is someone's first time.
I guess that's true. Yes, that's true. You're right. You know what? I'll stop being such an asshole.
I doubt it, but that's fine.
You should doubt it.
On that note, want to work on getting out of here?
Yeah.
Shout out to all the people in the chat with us tonight. It's been a fun crew. We've had a lot of great participation. Please hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Hit the like button, hit the bell icon. We'd appreciate that. Go find us on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast content. There's even some of the obscure ones, iHeart and
Overcast.
Overcast even, you know, who's to say. But go find it all there. BasketballConferencePodcast@gmail.com is the email address.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Twitter at FGRSJoey, at Mike McDaniel SI, together at BC Podcast ACC. Anything else?
Nope.
You guys want to come back and recap these games probably Sunday night?
Sunday night. See you then.
We'll see you then. Keep an eye out, too, by the way, for next week's schedule. Yeah. Usually the week of Thanksgiving gets a little funky. So once again, hit the bell icon on YouTube. You'll be notified when we're going to go live. If you want to join us for the preview of our final week 14 rivalry week, all that before the Thanksgiving holiday and all the festivities there start. So go check us out.
Yep. We'll let you guys know.
All right. For that guy, Mr. Mike McDaniel, for Mr. Producer Scott, I'm Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Enjoy the games. Until next time, go ACC.